When a man is soaking garri, he feels inferior, so he's hiding that he's soaking garri. When I soak garri, I soak it under the, you know, under floodlights. One day my wife said, I should stop carrying my garri to the office. I had to stop. I said, look, listen, I'm the boss. Nobody thinks it's poverty. He said, no, this is not right. I like that thing. You know, sprinkle groundnut with it, a little bit of sugar. I took to the office a few times. My wife protested. I said, what kind of thing is this one now? I said, what does it matter? I'm the boss. Everybody understands that ONC is soaking garri. They will call it to encourage them. So you see, the soaking of garri here, how you think of it is in your mind. It's not in the reality. It's true. It's in your mind. When you have an inferiority complex, you think it's because you are poor. So it's, you think you are, you know, it's when, if this is in your mind, you now think that it's because I'm poor, people will think I'm, I mean, you know, for me, it doesn't concern me. That is not my problem. You know, it's just because Okadas have been banned in Enugu. If I want to rush home and I call an Okada, you know, one day I took a keke napep. I chartered the keke napep, you know, from, I went to my mechanic, dropped my car. In fact, that man had known, he would have charged me a lot of money. I didn't know how much he paid. One that, okay, just carry me down. How much? Don't carry anybody else. Don't leave me. No problem. The guy was very happy. If I were him, I would just say, okay, I'm not a bad person. I shouldn't say that. But if he had known that he didn't know, probably would just say, okay, from here to here, I wouldn't have even batted an eyelid. No, I would have just said, okay, 200 naira. Okay, take. The guy would have said, merci, mugu. But, you know, I didn't feel any, the breeze, I enjoyed the breeze. That day. It had been a while since I saw that degree of breeze, you know? The guy was just driving only me. I didn't feel like this is my God. You will lift me out of here. I'm already out of there. So I felt nothing. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I felt nothing. I remember one day, that was the first day I went to listen to Pastor Poju in Lagos. The message is here. The inheritance inside the new man. Many of you who are listening to it, you won't get the whole thing because that day he spoke for 2 hours, 20 minutes. What we have is just 1 hour, 30 minutes. All right? So the latter part of the message was not recorded. I remember that day very well. I went to church wearing white. I was wearing white, you know, native my material. So, and it rained. So I was going, you know, walking carefully so nothing will splash. When the man finished preaching and I understood that God had made me something that I'm going to become, that's not what I am right now. It is what God has made me to be. When I was leaving the church, I saw the water. When I was leaving service, splash, what is your problem? Splash, this is the opportunity to splash you. You won't have this for a long time. That is, I didn't care that the mud stained my white clothes. Why? Because the word had entered into me. What am I trying to say? No matter the job you are doing, I have the mindset that you are a king. So you shouldn't feel inferior about it. One day we were talking with a brother. I overheard them. That day I was grieved. I was grieved. In fact, I preached, I think, the day after that in our convention. And I couldn't end my message because I was so grieved, I started shedding tears. Because I overheard somebody saying, oh, so where do you work now? He said, I don't have a job yet. I'm sure he has repented. I'm just want to teach. All right? He said, I don't have a job yet. And I said, I'm just managing one school somewhere. I was angry. They give you a class of children and you say it's not a job, it's management. How can you be handling people's destinies and tell me, you know, I'm just managing? Your heart will not be there. Do you have a job? Yes. What? I teach in this particular school. Period. That's it. It's nothing. There's no... It doesn't mean you won't want a university tomorrow. Yes. It does not in any way mean you will not own a university tomorrow. Is it because you sat amongst MTN staff? You understand my point? You know, Airtel staff, people who are working in oil companies, you're now feeling inferior. Listen, the place where you are going to reign, let me tell you again, many of those places you will arrive as a slave. You will labor. You will get there and you will labor. But remember, the watchword is faithfulness. Why did I call it? Faithfulness. Why did I call it? Faithfulness. I said this last time, let me say it again. Because, you know, we're looking at those two stages again, I'm amplifying it. Because a day will come, I ended last time on this particular note, that one day the Lord will come. One day the Lord will come. What do we mean when we say the Lord will come? Then the very thing that he ordained for Joseph to be, one day Pharaoh will send for him and Pharaoh will put him in that particular place. Actually, that's the message I wanted to preach today. Just I'm trying to, you know, recapitulate. I've thrown more light on things. Don't ever forget it. Life has two stages. It's our season of fruitfulness. I said something last time. You will be busy with your occupation until he comes. He said, occupy with this for a small time. Was that what he said? Was that what he said? Occupy with this until you have made enough money. Occupy with this until you feel satisfied that you have tried. What did he say? Occupy with this until I come. You know, I was telling you earlier about this story of WhatsApp. One day you're an average person, running a very good business. Next day you're a billionaire. Then you will know the Lord has come. Indeed, you will know the Lord has come. I told the story last time, just to remind us of it again. My friend who runs a free clinic, his own is a free clinic. Last time I saw him, he said, I've entered into my rest. What was he saying? The Lord has come. He was busy and busy until one day, some people came and said, wait, move away from here. Let's build you a new hospital. They actually wanted to give him the money. He said, it does not take money. It's okay, you shift. And they spent 100 million naira to erect that place for him and equip it completely. Then I saw him, he said, oh boy, I've entered into my rest. That he knew the Lord had come. You know, I sent him a mail a few days ago. I wanted him to come to our alumni fellowship, you know, and share his experience with us and used to encourage the brethren, the people of God. And he said, oh, he's sorry. He's at that same weekend, he's attending a conference, you know, somewhere in the U.S. And this brother's been jetting all over the place. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Conference, yeah, conference there. Oh, so he forwarded my mail to his international director. So that one has sent me a mail and said, okay, they apologize on his behalf, you know, stuff like that. I said, the Lord has come. In fact, because of this retreat I went to, I have not replied that particular person's mail. I must reply it to the end, you know, because she starts wondering that, why are these Nigerians like this? Because now when you put person, sent me a mail. Just explaining that, okay, I can get the materials from here and all of that. But the point I'm making is that one day the Lord came. He was occupied until the Lord did what? Came. I'm emphasizing to us again today. The Lord will what? Come. Now listen, there's one scripture I want us to read. Mark chapter 4. The book of Mark chapter 4. Let's look at what the kingdom of God is like. All right, verse 26. And it was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. Said the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Let me read this in the Amplified Bible. There's something I want to bring out from there, in the Amplified. It says from verse, I just want to read one verse here. Verse 27. Of course, from 26, let's just say from 26. The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground. Now notice verse 27. And then continues sleeping and rising night and day, while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. Now there's a reason why I read that Amplified Rhetoric. Because I want to bring out this word, continues. It continues sleeping and rising night and day. I said something earlier that one of the things you would do for your life is to give your life its own routine. I don't know whether you get my point in this occupation thing. All right? Whatever you do in life, try and have a kind of routine. How do I explain routine now? Which word do I use? Okay, let me use myself as an example. We just came back from Owerri. I haven't preached from Thursday till this morning, all right? Now, but whether I go to Owerri or not, every Saturday I'm here preaching. I don't know whether I get the point. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? You're doing business. It's not every day you find big business. There is something you do. It is small, but it's regular. It's continuous. I don't know whether you are getting that thing. You understand? All right? A lot of lazy people, you know what they do? Lazy people. The word is what? Lazy people. They will only work when the thing is big. That's the only time. That is, you know, I said that earlier. Fight idleness as if it's a disease. If you, maybe you are taking jobs, contracts, and stuff like that, they give you a particular contract. Once you will break even, and there's nothing else, take it. Did you hear what I said? Just take it. Say, well, there's nothing on top of it. Don't worry. Take it. It is better than doing nothing during that period. The day the Lord will come, listen, this WhatsApp people I'm using as an example. I hope you know the same work they did last week that they are still doing this week. The only difference is that last week a normal man did the work, this week a billionaire is doing it. I don't know what I'm getting, what I'm trying to say. That is, the office hasn't changed. The private jet may have changed now. It may have been from a private car. It's not a private plane. I don't know. But that private plane is still flying that fellow to the same office. What am I going to say? The man established a routine in what he was doing. And then a day came that the Lord changed the thing that he was doing as a small thing and made him a very big man. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now, listen. Let them just emphasize this here. In that Mark chapter 4, he said in verse 29, he said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because he knows that the harvest has come. What does it mean for the crop to permit? It's very simple. It simply means that the things that he did before, all right, and got little results, now he puts in little energy inside it and it gets great results. It's not a supernatural discernment that will let him know the crop has permitted. Are you getting my point? How you will know the crop has permitted is that the very same thing you were doing before, the same things you were doing this time around, they produce abundant results. My emphasis is that just keep on doing those same things, whether they produce abundant results or not. But as a matter of fact, a day will come that they will produce abundant results. One of the things that's missing in some of the gospel of prosperity we preach is that we do emphasize this part. A man sits at home, crosses his leg, and he says, I believe breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough can't come like that. The only thing that happens like that is what? Breakdown. That's the only thing that happens like that. It is the only thing that happens like that. Breakdown. Listen, you know, I've not gotten to the thing I want. You know, we read Jeremiah chapter 8. What I actually wanted to read, maybe it's a good time to get in there, all right? I wanted to explain to the people of God I know what I want to say. I'm looking for words to use to say it. I wanted to explain to the people of God, all right? Yes. Let me put it like this. Do whatever you have to do. Make your life a routine. Cultivate righteousness, you understand? Pursue faithfulness, but know for sure that help is coming. That's what I want to say. Yeah, that's what I want to say. That's actually what I wanted to bring out. What did I say? Help is coming. What do I mean by help is coming? You know one thing Mike Murdock said? Mike Murdock said, how did he say it again? What did he say? Okay, now I remember. He said, when God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. Yes, that's what Mike Murdock said. And he said, of course, the same way, when the devil wants to destroy you, he also sends somebody into your life. Because destruction is not your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And every destructive agent that wants to come into your life will fall into the gutter before they meet you in Jesus' name. Amen. They won't meet you, amen? Amen. You won't believe them, amen? Amen. They will not entice you, amen? So we are not emphasizing on the destructive people, agents. We are emphasizing on the agents of progress that God will send into your life. All right, the Lord is good. So, like I said to you, what I'm going to emphasize, you know, because, you know, when we say somebody is blessed, I said to you before that the colloquial expression for the word blessed, it means the fellow is lucky. Yeah, let me explain it again. That if you say somebody is blessed, what you find out, this is how it manifests physically. That fellow is just lucky. That's the manifestation of blessing. The fact that somebody is lucky, that's how it manifests. And I want to explain something to you today, all right, in your season of fruitfulness, all right, that you will be lucky. And don't think it's just luck. I want you to recognize that it is a positive force called a blessing. That is what is coming into your life. And 2014, you will begin to experience it.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to emphasize. Now, we read something earlier. Let's just go back there. You now see why I read it. The book of Jeremiah chapter 8. God was explaining something to them. He was describing the kind of land that was bringing them into verse 7. He said, for the Lord is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say, good land.
Good land.
A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land that will easily produce wheat and barley. I'm qualifying it now. Vines, fig trees, and pomegranates. A land where you will eat food without scarcity. A land in which, he said, in whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Now, okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to read. Now, somewhere else, he was contrasting this land with that of Egypt. In Egypt, the people had to irrigate the land by themselves. He said, this land is a land that drinks waters of the rain of heaven. Let me explain something. This is what I want to just explain, and I close. Now, God uses men. God will use people to connect you to where he wants you to get to once he has proven you faithful where you are right now. For Joseph to become the ruler, the prince that God made him in Egypt, he met a man in prison. Did you hear what I said? Yes, he met a man in prison. But I want you to understand something. He initially tried to ask the man to help him, and God said, no, that's not the order. You are not going to lobby for this thing. Just use your faithfulness to impress this man and leave the matter there. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Just use your faith. It's not if you're trying to impress the man, you're just being yourself. Because many people that God will send to help you, you will not even know that they are going to have that kind of connection. I want to just explain that. I explain it, how your life is going to be. All right? And then we'll close. God always... Now, why did I read that? The fact that this land produces water by itself. It is not the effort of these people that produce water. It's a land of springs. It's a land of fountains. It's a land of hills and valleys. That is, water runs. When rain falls, it channels to the way it's going to be a blessing to them. Not by their own effort. Let me tell you something. I will give it to you practically. You need help, you need an investor, you need connection, and you go and visit a man 3 times, he says, come back tomorrow, don't go back again. I forbid you in the name of Jesus, don't go back again. Maybe you should see me tomorrow. Maybe you should see me tomorrow. Maybe you should see me tomorrow. Once you hear that 3 times, just say, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. Are you following the point I'm making? Just say to yourself simply, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. I want you to know, note it very well. When Joseph, when that minister that was with Joseph in prison, when Joseph explained his wahala to him, and the man said, don't worry, when things come out the way you said, we will help you. You know, the man forgot. What am I trying to say? Now I'm prophesying and explaining both of them side by side. Only the people that God commanded will remember you.
Amen.
You don't want somebody to be a troublesome trouble on your head. Amen. Let me say to you again. It's only in the due season and the people that God commanded, they are the ones that will remember you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will use people to lift you from where you are right now, all right, into the place where you are supposed to be.
Amen.
But remember, you are not the one scheming it. Not to meet an important person. We're going to begin carrying bag because you are looking for favor. The only thing that God will use to connect you with important people is your faithfulness.
Yes.
Not your eye service. Not your boot licking. Do you understand my point? Not your psycho fancy. It is simply because of your what? Faithfulness. He says, seest thou a man that is skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. That is what we make them. Look, when that fellow brought Joseph out and said, come and meet Pharaoh, it wasn't because Joseph was nice to him. He wasn't trying to reward Joseph. He was trying to help Pharaoh. I don't know whether you noticed that. He wasn't trying to help reward Joseph. He was trying to help Pharaoh. Listen, let me say this is very important. May you be an asset everywhere you go in your life.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You will be an asset everywhere you go in your life.
Amen.
Nobody will look down on you with pity. That's not the sign of wealth. That's not a sign of promotion. Nobody is going to look down on you with pity. They are going to look up to you in your small state, but they will look up and say, this is the person that we need to help us. And that is how God lifts people up. You think it was because Pharaoh loved Jews? I said, I heard that your father has a promise over his life. Just say, okay, are you this? Are you the son of Joseph? The son of Jacob? Sorry. You are Joseph, all right. The son of Jacob, grandson of Isaac, my God. Isaac, son of Abraham, with promise. Oh, come and sit down here. And I wasn't thinking of all of that. He said, oh boy, I hear that you are the one that can solve this crisis. We hear that you are the one that can help us to decode this dream. He said, well, it is the gift of God, sir. All right, go ahead. Let me tell you the dream. The Pharaoh narrated the dream. Joseph brought forth the interpretation and then by skillful wisdom told them what to do. The man said, well, if you are the one that can decode this level 1 and level 2, level 3, you should be in your hand also. Come and execute that which you have proposed as a result of the dream that you decoded. Joseph was never a liability to Pharaoh. The same way he was a blessing to Potiphar, is that same way he became a blessing to Pharaoh. You will go somewhere great in life because you are a blessing to people.
Amen.
Listen, stop hanging around waiting for somebody to just dash you money, dash you an expensive job. You know what I call an expensive job? That is heavy paying job, expensive contract, something you make plenty money from. No, you are not a liability. You are not a taker, you are a giver.
Yes.
Even when you are receiving reward for your labor, you are still a giver. That these people will pay you, at the end of the day, they are still not the same, my God, this guy is good. They pay you plenty of money, and they are still happy that somebody brought you into their lives. I'm trying to emphasize, alright, that this is how God has ordained the season of fruitfulness to be for you. You are a lucky person.
Amen.
In the season, remember two seasons. One, occupation. During which we demonstrate what? Faithfulness. We demonstrate skill. We demonstrate honesty, integrity, righteousness. And we just leave it there. We're not doing more than that. We're not doing more than that. In the midst of our trouble, we're not doing more than that. The place where we are going to rule, we entered that place as a slave. We're not going to do more than that. We're just going to do what we are supposed to do with the skill that God has poured into our hearts by His grace. And then one day, I say this, I think I can now close. One day, the help will come. I want you to understand me well and believe it and say the amen. One day, the help will come.
Amen.
Remember, nobody succeeds by his or her own effort. Some people say, okay, this man knows people. Let me say to you again, you know God.
Yes, amen.
What did I say? What did I say? And God is not just an imaginary thing just to make ourselves happy. Actually, He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and a man of my purpose from a distant country. Listen, the fellow of God's purpose is coming into your life by commandment.
Amen.
Remember, One of the things I learned long ago, I said, blessings are commanded. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. That which is mine will never go into the house of another person. No, it's not a prayer. I'm just explaining. I'm not praying. I'm explaining. This is my illustration. My wife bears my name. If I travel, I say, meet me somewhere. I'm staying in this particular hotel. She gets to the wrong room and knocks. And sees a white man there. We say, well, this is the door that I met, so I will now become Mrs. White Man. No, think about it. Is it going to happen?
No.
Why should you just say that? Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm wrong number or wrong door. I'm very, very sorry. Now go back to the reception. I thought you said room. Oh, sorry. I thought you said 306. All right. Okay. You said what? 603. I'm very sorry. Then she goes back again until she locates me. Why? She has my name. Your blessing has your name.
Amen.
Listen, let me say it again. Your blessing has your name.
Amen.
When God says, go and help with that. Look, listen. You remember Hudah of Zarephath?
Yes.
They said one last offering. And she broke through. I agree with one last offering, not a single offering. I don't know what I heard I said. I agree when they say it's one last offering and breakthrough came. But I don't believe it's a single offering. What's my reason? My reason is because how did Elijah get to her door in the first place? Elijah wasn't roaming around by accident. Say, tumbon, tumbon, any widow here? Tumbon, any widow here? No! He was looking for a particular widow. I am saying your help will be looking for you particularly.
Amen.
The person may not know your name, just like Elijah did not know that widow of Zarephath's name. He may not even be a prophet. But God will arrange events so that you will contact the person he has sent to come and lift you up. For that reason, it doesn't matter who you know currently or who you don't know. It makes no difference. It makes no difference who you are connected to or who you are not connected to. It makes no difference. God will raise his own connection in his own season. That's actually what I came to teach today. Every other thing I was saying before was, preambling, trying to connect. This was what I had in my mind strongly. To let you know that you will have help at the appropriate time.
Amen.
You will, because one of the things that people say, I don't know anybody, they know where to raise money. That kind of thing. Look, listen, you won't have where to raise money. Money will come to you when you need it.
Amen.
You hear what I said?
Yes.
It's not about begging somebody. Listen, your life, you are going to live it. Just this your breakthrough, your business, it will be on your terms. It will be on your terms. It will be on your terms.
Yes,
I said it will be on your terms.
Amen.
I said it will be on your terms.
Amen.
I was thinking about that at WhatsApp thing. It struck me that the people who invested all the money got 3 billion out of the 90. I don't know whether you got that. They spent a total of $60 million. Sequoia Capital, that's the name of the venture capital company. $60 million. That's all the money these guys ever spent. When the goodies were to be shared, they are getting 3 billion out of 19. That means it was not on their own terms. It's on the terms of the other fellows. Listen, let me just quickly drop something for you. This is how you know people that God sent to you. Those who are willing to accept your terms. Anybody not willing to accept it, God didn't send him. Anybody that wants to buy your inheritance from you and take the control from you, God did not send the person. That's not your own. Because this one, it will be on your own terms. You will control it. The fellow has come to help you, not to buy from you, not to steal from you. He has come to do what? Help. And if you are helping me with something that's mine, it remains mine even after you have helped. I don't know what I get what I said. Yes, if you are helping, it's still my own. You are not coming to take it away from me. It struck me when I was reading the analysis. I said, you mean Sequoia Capital for all the money they spent in there? They spent all the money. Of course, they are feeling good. I mean, if you invest 60 million... Okay, you invest 60 naira. After 5 years, it is 3,000. That's good business, isn't it? Okay, let's make it look more real. 600,000 naira. After 5 years, it has become 3 million. Eh? 30 million. That's good business, isn't it? Your story will be sweeter.
Amen.
That's all I have to tell you. What did I say? I said your story will be sweeter.
Amen.
I think God allowed this to work happen this week because I wanted to preach today. This could have happened next week. But my message for today, I would not have been able to use it as an illustration. It had to happen this week so that I'll use something to show the people of God that these things are real. I said to you, my message for you today is what? Help is coming your way. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? What did I say?
Help
is coming your way. Let's bow down heads. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you.